First Chronicles 17 there in your Bible in the Old Testament. First Chronicles. If you get to Kings, you just keep going towards the right. You'll run into Chronicles. Yeah, First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, and then First Chronicles 17. Turn there just for. All right, there you are in 1 Chronicles 17. 1 Chronicles 17. We have been on the third mark of emotionally healthy discipleship. We'll be looking at seven total. Last week, I don't know if you have your notes from last week or not, but we studied the discerning the different kinds of limits, the examples of limits in the Christian life. We looked at the example of the Garden of Eden. We looked at the ministry of Jesus. And then we also looked at the life of John the Baptist. But we also referenced King David, of where he had to learn the truth about limits, God-given limits in his life. And there are two kinds of limits that we are going to be studying. The one I hope to finish up tonight is that question, letter B there under number one. It says this is the limit that we're not going to be referring to. That'll probably be next week or the next. But it says, what limits is God asking me to break through by faith so that others might know Him, or so that I might become the person He intends? So that is not what we're referring to tonight, but we're in letter A. On what limits do I need to receive and submit to joyfully as God's invitation to trust Him? And so that's what we're going to look at. Notice 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house. That's an interesting fault there, as he just returns from all the things that God's been leading him through wars and battles, and he's wanting to build this house for the Lord. And he says, he sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." In other words, the tent there, the tabernacle. And notice what Nathan said unto David: "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." All right, so even the prophet was encouraging David at this point, until he got a word from the Lord. The prophet got a word from the Lord in verse 3. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in." And he goes in to give a little bit of an explanation there. And of course, Nathan is going to go and let David know this information. And we get a little further light on why that was found in, we won't go there for sake of time, but in chapter 22, verse 8, the Lord gives further description on why he was not going to allow David to do that. And that's because David was a man of war, and there was a lot of bloodshed that was, of course, upon his hands. And he said he wanted a man of peace to build the temple. And that, of course, was his son, Solomon. And by the way, we're going to see, if you read that passage and that whole account, David, though he probably maybe struggled with the same insecurity and fears that we would, something you really want to do, whatever the case may be, and the Lord just say, okay, well, this now is either not the timing, or it's not this exact same way. Whatever the case may be, David submitted, and he said, "All right, well, I'm going to do my best to prepare my son. I'm going to prepare my son and give him the best opportunity to succeed in the will of God." That's a great attitude, is it not? Just wanting someone to succeed in the will of God just as much as your own life, you're pulling for him. And that's what he did. But we see that he was faced. He too was faced with the fact, the reality of limits. So how would we like to look at these limits? Well, first of all, let's look tonight. You have your outline there. Limits to receive. That's what we're referring to. In order to discern God's will around our limits, we must first identify what our unique set of personal limits look like. And here are six key areas that are mentioned in the book. And I'm actually going to read directly from the book under these headings because I feel like they are very good for us to consider and meditate upon. Because we do need to take an account of, all right, Lord, I know you've called me to be your disciple, and I know there are limits that you will call me to break through by faith in life. But Lord, I also realize I'm one man, I'm one woman, you know, that each of us here, I'm one person, and I can't do everything. I'm not sovereign. I'm not omnipotent. I'm not omniscient. I'm not omnipresent. I can't do everything. So, God, teach me what I can do in your will, by your grace, by your power, and for your glory. And I think that's something that we have to take evaluation in all of the seasons of life. Because if not, we will cross limits that God did not intend for us to cross. And of course, we saw that in the garden. We talked about the example that Satan tempted Adam and Eve to think they were unlimited. There was no limit. There should be no limits on you. And he said, he knows that when you eat, you're going to know good and evil. Well, that was a true statement. But he said, you'll be like gods. And that was false. And by the way, can I just say this? You all know this, but I think it bears worth repeating. Satan always will take truth and insert lies within that truth. That's how he works. Okay? He doesn't make the error obvious. He's very subtle how he tricks people and deceives people. That's why we always have to be on guard. And vigilant, and discerning, prayerful, wise, considering, judging. Those are the righteous, judging situations and judging a doctrine, judging a teaching, whatever. It's important that we are discerning people. But nevertheless, they took that choice to sin, disobey against the Lord, and God did not intend for them to do that. And there's a reason. Is number one, what are the limits of your personality and temperament? Basically, God's made us all so uniquely different, right? And your personality is going to be slightly different than mine, maybe greatly different than mine. And so you're going to be more prone and gifted to do things that perhaps God didn't create me to do. I don't need to be insecure about that. Now, yes, there are times. This is not to say that we don't step out of our comfort zone, right? Am I correct in that? Yeah, we step out of our comfort zone and do things maybe we may not be comfortable with. That's not the point. The point is that there are things that we don't need to get frustrated with if we aren't able to do it. But listen to this. This is under the limits of your personality and temperament. Do you get more energy from being with people, extrovert, or being with yourself, introvert? Y'all probably could guess which one I am. I love being around people. I draw energy from people. Some others here would say, I'm introvert. I like that alone time. That's okay. Neither one are wrong, and you have to consider that. Are you more spontaneous and creative or controlled and orderly? Are you more easygoing and relaxed or focused and driven? By the way, I love the way God puts couples together. Amen. Well, these strengths and weaknesses complementing each other. I know He did with Joanna and me. We notice that often. And, you know, it's just, it's a miracle, really, how it all works together. Because if you're not humble and full of the Holy Spirit, you'll drive each other nuts. All right. Here it says, are you on boldness and risk taking? What about that? You know, he mentions about the fact that he scored a 1 out of out of a scale of 1 to 10. He scored a 10, being the highest on risk taking. Just the idea of being a Robin Hood, taking on Nottingham for a grand vision. And at the same time, he scored a 10 on sensitivity. But he mentioned that the latter would qualify me to for him to be a counselor or social worker, not a CEO of a large company. And he talked about this practical things, the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, and other just little helpful tools that you can discover some things about your temperament, your personality. I think it's important that we see that who God has gifted us to be. What about the second one here? What are the limits of your current season of life? Now, this is really, really good. We're all at different seasons of life. And it's not just age. It could be, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. He says here, your season of life is also a God-given limit. Ecclesiastes teaches us there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. He says there are seasons when you may be needed at home with small children more often, even perhaps with special needs. There are seasons we experience physical or emotional challenges or external crisis that alter our life course. There are seasons when, because of health reasons, our parents need us or our children need us. There are seasons of financial prosperity and times of struggle. There are seasons for intensive studying and further schooling. There are seasons for high levels of activity. There are seasons to step back from responsibilities and grieve a significant loss. There are just so many, and there could be multiple more named, right? And we understand that we need to recognize that there are times in life we may need to make some shifts, some changes. And that's recognizing God-given limits and realizing that we need to be led of the Holy Spirit and not just assume that, no, I have to do it the way I've always done it. No, that's not necessarily true. What are the limits? Number three, what are the limits of your marriage or singleness? If you are married, that is a limit. It's obvious. God has given you to your spouse and your spouse to you. You are one flesh and you are committed to each other. If you are single, that is a different kind of limit. The marriage vow to be one flesh with another person informs every decision we make. Every decision. One major decision here and your life, you pray about it together. You decisions, you work together. You know, if you're single, you need to ask, what do I need to do today to lead out of a healthy singleness for Christ? And the same question applies to couples tonight. What do I need to do today to lead out of a healthy marriage for Christ? And you know, just carving out time to give and receive love in a healthy community and engaging and the care of yourself and others are non-negotiable for everyone. What about this one? What are the limits for your emotional, physical, and intellectual capacities? Listen to this. Your emotional, physical, and intellectual capacities are also a God-given limit. He gives the testimony, I have a large capacity for people and complexity in my work. And he talks about, I love reading several books at one time, at the same time. But he talks about working with people all day. And when he gets to a certain point, he has to separate himself because he starts feeling lethargic and depressed. He talks about just the time to be able to read and pray and be alone. And He mentioned, I cannot work a 70-hour week physically, emotionally, or spiritually and be effective as God wants me to be. And he just talked about some simple things that. But when we age physically, we find our bodies cannot do what they used to. When we are young and without much life experience, certain doors remain closed to us. We have a physical or emotional disability or a sickness. We may find this keeps us from going down a path we may have planned. But listen, anger, depression, extreme fatigue, health problems, and fears often function as a check oil light to slow us down, informing us that something is not right on the inside of the engine of our lives. This is one key way God stops us, limits the pace of our lives, and gets our attention. So it's good to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to recognize those things. That's a sign of mature discipleship, right? And notice this next one. What are the limits of your family of origin? Your family of origin also has God-given limits and gifts. If we will look for the hand of God moving in our family history, even in the most painful moments, we will find golden nuggets in the rocky soil. We all have some sort of family history that we're not exactly proud of. Okay? Certainly can find things that God wants us to learn from as we go. But God sees it differently. The limits I inherited from my family turned out to be gifts, he said. Once I embraced them, I find my God more sensitive and less judgmental of others. I love others better as I encourage them to joyfully. There are things that come along with our families where we will be limited, but God will give us wisdom. Limits of your time. You only, as we read, I believe 2 weeks ago, that prayer of Moses, Lord, teach us to number our days. Why? So that we can apply our hearts to wisdom, right? So listen to this. You have only one life to live. You can't do it all. He gives it to, I would like to live in Asia, Europe, Africa, and a rural area in the United States. I would like to try a few different professions. I can't. My time on earth, like yours, is running out. Each decade of our lives thrust us into a different season. Our teen years, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. Each presenting us with different types of limits. And Scripture explicitly calls us to pray for wisdom about our limited time, as the verse I just mentioned. You see, there are many examples in Scripture where we discover limits in our lives. But God truly shows Himself powerful even in those limits. You remember the limits of the five loaves and the two fish, where the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. We see it was within a limit of a 300-person army that Gideon prevailed against 135,000 Midianites. It was the limits of Moses' slowness of speech and age that he led 2 or 3 million people out of Egypt. It was within Jeremiah's melancholy temperament that God gave him insights about God's grief and heart of love for His people. And talk about relational and family limitations, things that you can draw from that even in the difficulty. Listen, remember Hosea's testimony, right? it was within Hosea's painful marriage that he was given one of the greatest revelation of God's love for His people that tens of millions of people ponder to this day. You think about that. That's pretty sobering, you think about. But nevertheless, limits sometimes are, and many times are, God's gifts in disguise. And we have to understand that what He does in and through our limits is more than we could ever accomplish in our own strength or our own agenda. In other words, we shouldn't go through life trying to be somebody else. God made you to be you. You be the best you that you can be by the grace of God. Amen? Don't wish yourself to be someone else. Or, you know, it's beautiful. My grandmother used to wear, what are the cross-stitching things on her wall. And it was just like a 9x9. It wasn't good grammar. By the way, she always corrected our grammar, so it was just sort of a funny thing. But it said, be who you is, because if you be what you ain't, then you ain't what you is. And now, that, no, that just slaughters the grammar there, but the point was, it's just be you. Be you. And I believe that's what God wants us to be, and realize that the you that God made has limits. And it's healthy to consider what they are and whatever season you're in. It could be different at different times. And so, as I put here, one of the indicators that we are on the road to spiritual maturity is when we live joyfully within our God-given limits. And once we embrace them, it will help us. It will help others. And sometimes we do. It takes time to learn them. And really, the best person, honestly, the best person to be able to determine that is you. I mean, your spouse will be able to help see some things because they spend the most time with you, or whatever the case may be, or those closest to you, family members, loved ones. But really, down in your heart, you have to just consider these things. God, where do you have me? And going back to our question in letter A, Lord, what are the limits that I currently, you can even use that word, currently, what are the limits that I currently need to receive and submit to joyfully as your invitation to trust you and be willing to make the adjustments that are necessary? But yes, embracing God's gift of limits, that's what the point is tonight. I hope you'll consider the things in your life. Anybody got a comment on that before we close in prayer and go to the prayer meeting? Anybody got any thoughts they'd like to share? Was any of that a help to anybody here? Yep, amen, amen. One of you was an encouragement. That's a blessing. And amen. Any thoughts, comments, concerns, disagreements? No, let's not talk about those. I mean, we're limited here, folks. Let's just stick with the... Yes, Becky? Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's something to pray through and talk through. Talk with people that are Spirit-filled, that you respect, and work through those. Because I know... You know, our life with a newborn, I realize even with a newborn, there's limits that we do in life, you know, and with small children. And there's just, you go through those seasons of life and whatever it may be, whatever God brings our way. But the Lord is so good to keep us in tune with Him and to help us. I think it comes back to what I'm teaching the young people in Good News Club. It's just really resting in the sovereignty of God. Like realizing the world will be okay if I'm not here. This world will go on just fine. without me and without you. God is sovereign. He is in control. He does use us while we're here. That is His plan. And I want to be used. I want to be used as much as God will let me be used. And that's the way we all pray for. And God delights in that. But at the same time, it's realizing, okay, this thing don't hinge on me. Lord, this is all You. This is Your sovereign. You're in control. And I don't want to act like in life that this is all going to crumble if I don't do some part or if I don't do this. You got to come to the point where, all right, okay, Lord, I believe You can handle this. I'm not going to try to control it. It's just believing that God has a good grip on everything. Don't you believe God's got a good grip? He's got a really good grip. And anyway, let's go ahead and transition. Praise the Lord. All right.